Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to The Kim Pagano Show. I'm so glad that you are starting your day in a positive way. And, of course, we've got a great show for you today. But I want to share a little bit. We're in our motorhome. We're going on a couple of weekend trips, taking back our grandkids. And I'm so blessed to have five grandchildren. And it's been so much fun. And, of course, school is starting right around the corner, and I hope that everyone has had some really amazing joy in their life for this summer, and it's starting all over. And of course, if you have possibly not been on your game, your top game for your business, now is a perfect time to get restarted. And I want to take an opportunity to invite you to my business mixers. There's one that is virtual, and so you could be anywhere in the whole world and join us. I've had people as far as Canada and, I mean, all over the place. So meeting friends and listeners from all over. And then, of course, if you are a local listener, I'd love you to join us. And, of course, that is a local in-person mixer. And, of course, the virtual date is September 10th, and the in-person is October 10th. Lots of time to register, and if you want more information, just text me or call me at our phone number right here, 805-419-0008. We always have amazing guests and amazing speakers, and if you are looking to sponsor one of my events, please reach out. I'd love to get your business and your message out there and make it your magic. And, of course, I always start our show with something uplifting, and today's is no one but ourselves can free our minds. And that's really what it's all about, starting your day in a positive way. And, you know, I learned this a long time ago with my youngest son. You can always restart your day. And so if you wake up and you're anxious, or you wake up and you're, you know, just not starting your day in a positive way, restart it. Restart it, because guess what? This is not a dress rehearsal. This is our life. So, of course, we always have comedy tickets, and I'd love to share that. So if you are into comedy like I am, I'd love to give away some tickets. So all you have to do is text us or call us at that number and put comedy, and one of our team members will get back with you. And, of course, that number again is 419-0008. And we are going to talk to our first guest, and of course, we're going to talk to Dr. Travis Moore. He is the director of healthcare, and we're going to find out a little bit more about all of these jobs that are out there for careers in care, and how you can. A lot of us going through our pandemic and all that, we experience burnout, and he's going to talk to us about how it's actually coming back. People are getting rejuvenated. So again, let's talk with Dr. Travis Moore. He is our first guest.
Hi, Kim.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life and business. And of course, I'm learning a little bit more that summer obviously is one of the busiest times of the year for medical professions, as workloads increase and staffing shortage, because I guess everybody's on vacation and we still need that care, correct?
That's right. You got it.
Yeah. And of course, it's the higher stress levels, the potential burnout. And of course, I am honored to have Dr. Travis Moore. You got a lot of titles besides your name, DNP, RN, NE, BC, and of course, you are the director of healthcare category management, as indeed for the Seattle. You're calling us from Seattle, correct?
Yes, that's where we're at this morning.
I love it. What's the weather over there like?
It's beautiful and sunny, which is a lovely occasion to see in our neck of the woods.
I love Seattle. Very cool. So anyways, well, I am excited to talk with you. And of course, how long have you been doing this?
I have been in healthcare almost, since I was like 16 years old when I first got my EMT. So I've been doing this for a pretty long time.
Isn't that incredible? Do you still love it? Is it still your passion?
Absolutely. You know, I have had various roles in healthcare throughout my life. And I feel, you know, now that I work with Indeed, I'm able to be in a position where I can even impact other healthcare workers' lives and help them find better balance in their work. And so it's a great opportunity for me. And I love everything that I do and the impact that I get to have on healthcare workers in the healthcare industry.
I love it. And let's just briefly talk about Indeed for a second. So many people, I get, you know, like radio hosts and different things, people looking for, you know, another outlet in their life or another, another chapter, right? And how does that work?
Yeah, so, you know, you bring up a great point, and Indeed's a great place for you to go and explore what your options are. We have many, 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 many jobs on there, and more specifically, you know, we have a ton of healthcare jobs on our platform. And that is, you know, one of the reasons that we created the Careers in Care Hub at Indeed, because we wanted to bring all of these resources together into one spot to help healthcare workers manage things like burnout, as well as how do they transition their career into another area of healthcare. And, you know, even more exciting, what if you're not in healthcare and you want to consider a healthcare occupation? We have a ton of articles, videos, and so forth to help you explore things in healthcare. There's a lot of opportunity. There's a lot of a variation in what you could do, as well as the amount of work or kind of investment you have to make on the front side to enter some of these healthcare occupations that can be amazingly impactful to you and the community that you live in.
I love that. And so, first of all, for our listeners, where would they go to find some of those things right off the bat?
Yeah, so we have our Careers in Care Hub, which you can find on indeed.com/careersincare. And there's a ton of links on that homepage that'll get you to where you're looking to go.
I love it. Okay, and my next question is, why is there such a staffing shortage right now in the medical profession?
Yeah, it's a good question, and there's lots of answers. I'll name a few. One is that we just have more patients than we've had in the past, and this is largely due to an aging population. A lot of healthcare workers are baby boomers themselves, and now they're starting to retire, and so they're kind of hopping over to the other side's fence as being a care utilizer. We also have patients that are trying to catch up on things that they may have put off in the pandemic or immediately after the pandemic. Speaking of the pandemic, it caused significant burnout for healthcare workers, which caused many healthcare workers to leave the field altogether. Fortunately, we're starting to see a lot of those healthcare workers return to the field, but we're still trying to recover from some of those losses. And another big thing is we just don't have enough training programs to create a strong enough pipeline for healthcare workers. And that's largely due to we don't have enough faculty to train people that want to get into healthcare occupations. We also don't have enough clinical training sites to be able to adequately train these workers to come into the occupation. And then there's funding challenges and limitations from being able to scale a lot of these programs. And so all of that combined reduces the volume of new healthcare workers entering the field every year as well.
Yeah, I definitely figured it had to do with the pandemic. I mean, all those incredible people that gave up their lives and their hours and their families to be there, that definitely would cause a burnout. There's no question there.
For sure.
So for those who currently work in the field and or who are looking to start that kind of a career, what tips do you have for them?
Yeah, so for people that are currently working in the field and for people that are interested in healthcare, I would recommend going to our Careers in Care Hub. We have lots of resources available to them to explore different opportunities. You know, we talked a little bit about burnout as being one of the challenges that healthcare workers are facing. So, you know, I would recommend, you know, for listeners that are in healthcare, if you're starting to feel some of those symptoms of burnout, those are going to be things like feeling exhausted all the time, feeling like maybe you're not able to provide that level of care that you really want to, or you're starting to feel detached or maybe kind of apathetic towards your job. Those are signs of burnout. and doing things like communicating your feelings to your supervisors, your teammates. On the survey, the Pulse of Healthcare survey that Indeed recently commissioned, we saw that relationships with patients, relationships with coworkers, relationships with your supervisors all contributed to a better sense of fulfillment in your job. And so communicating when you're starting to feel things like burnout to them will help you cope with some of the challenges that you're having. Making sure you're setting good boundaries right from the get-go. This is a really good idea, especially for people just entering healthcare occupations. Set your habits early. In healthcare, there's near infinite opportunity to pick up shifts, and some of them come with shift incentives or bonuses or maybe just extra hours. And making sure that you're thinking through, is that extra money coming in worth the impact to my mental health and contributing to burnout? And then finally, things like prioritizing self-care are also super important. And I know this is something that gets, you know, kind of cliched a lot, but especially in healthcare occupations where we're really there for our patients and caring for our patients, we have to be able to fill our own cup, or we won't have anything left to give at the end of the day to our patients or even our families when we return home. So prioritizing that self-care and doing things that fill your cup are super important as well.
So good. So good. I totally agree with filling your own cup. And you know what? And a lot of people isolate. Don't isolate. Reach out to people. Mm-hmm. When you're reaching out to other people, you're actually really helping yourself. I love this. Of course, for anybody that's just waking up with us, starting your day in a positive way, we're talking with Dr. Travis Moore, and we are talking about finding maybe a new career or maybe a different career. And, of course, Indeed.com is where you can go. And we're talking about really, you know, finding some interest in for those who are looking for a career in the medical field or those who would look to actually additional information. Give us your last tips, really. You've mentioned so many things, but the biggest thing is really to take your own stress levels into consideration and to really recognize potential burnouts, correct?
Yeah. So recognizing the fact that it's okay to feel that way and understanding what the warning signs are. We've also created a bunch of resources on indeed.com/careers-in-care. So it's the careers in care. Everything healthcare for Indeed there. So if you're also someone who's not currently in healthcare and you want to explore what the opportunities are, we have some fun videos that you can explore. What's the day in the life of a dentist or an ER nurse or a speech language pathologist? And so you can kind of understand what would the job look like. And then we also have articles outlining how would you become one of those, or what's the typical career trajectory for someone who gets into one of these occupations. And I think that you might be surprised, you know, at how low the barrier to entries are to some of these roles and how easy it is to get into these shorter programs at the low cost or low investment to really, you know, kind of get your feet wet in the world of healthcare and then grow from there. So all of those resources available on our Careers in Care website.
I love that. Again, please, I'd love to continue our talk another time. And, of course, reach out and definitely go to support and guidance. I'm just looking at all the different things in careers. I love that you could step into somebody's world and really get a feel for what it would look like, because once you can see it, you can have it. So, again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life and Business.
Awesome. Thanks, Kim.
Have a great rest of your day. Take care.
You as well.
Some really good information. If you are in the healthcare industry, it's time to get rejuvenated and definitely find out how you can get some of these incredible jobs on Indeed.com. All right, we're going to take a really quick break. When we come back, I am joined by one of my favorite therapists, and she's been on our show before. Dr. Heather Brown will be joining us, so stay with us. And, of course, her newest book, Speaking with the Heart. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
TNT Anger Management Services knows that sometimes we get overwhelmed at work and home with our deadline. Try these three tips to help you regain order and focus. Number one, staying focused on the priority should be your main objective. Number two, we all know the word multitasking is highly overrated, so try to keep it simple. Number three, set boundaries for yourself, eliminating side talk and chatter, which can be really disrupting when you have a deadline. These are just some ways to collect oneself, complete your lead task. For more information, visit TNTAMS.com. Or if you're experiencing a lack of focus and anger, please feel free to call Norman Thatcher, the facilitator and owner of TNT Anger Management, directly. 818-264-6255. That's 818-264-6255. Or go to TNTAMS.com.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses, or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out SurvivalSwimWithKim.com. That's SurvivalSwimWithKim.com or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.
Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the heart of the beautiful Santa Rosa Valley, is a locally owned, multi-regional classic Italian restaurant with an extensive wine list. You'll be greeted with warm, friendly, attentive service. Wednesday evenings from 3 to 8 p.m., Manhattan of Camarillo offers a signature three-course menu for $25. For a bit more casual atmosphere, check out Trivia Thursdays in their beer garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. If you're into live music, come see some of Ventura County's premier local talent where you can dance the night away on a large dance floor. Manhattan of Camarillo's private wine and banquet room holds up to 40 people. Make your reservations today or book your next private party. Dinner is served Tuesday through Saturday with easy access off the 101 at Pleasant Valley Road.
Call today for a reservation at 805-388-5550.
That's 805-388-5550. Or go to themanhattanofcamarillo.com.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. If you're looking for tickets to comedy, and of course, laughter is the best medicine, we've got them. And please reach out to us. All you have to do is text us at 805-419-0008, and we will get our team on that. And again, follow us through our social and also download our podcast on all platforms, and you will take us with you every day. And again, I want to make sure if you have a business or you're looking to get in a business, I would love to help you as a business coach or to bring you to our mixers, virtual and in person. And if you are interested in learning more, just reach out to us and text us and put mixer, and I personally will get back with you. All right, my next guest, I'm really excited to have her back on. Of course, Dr. Heather Brown, her newest book is Speaking with the Heart. And of course, you know, we all have different ways of communicating. And of course, Heather is amazing at really finding that spot that she is a relationship expert. And she will help you get there. But we've got an incredible interview that I'm excited to share. So let's welcome Heather, Dr. Heather Brown. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. My next guest is Dr. Heather Brown. And one of her gifts that she does is she helps people recognize the power of communications. It's actually one of the most important skills that we have. And of course, as a relationship expert, Dr. Heather Brown has worked with thousands of individuals and couples in psychotherapy. She's actually done her first TEDx and keynote speaker
But today we're going to be talking a little bit about her newest book, and that is Speaking with the Heart. Heather, welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
Oh, I am so honored to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started.
Well, I think as so many people who are in the healing profession, I had a pretty challenging childhood. My mom was a paranoid schizophrenic, and she killed herself when I was 16. And the message that I kept noticing as a child was no one knew how to help mom, and mom wasn't getting help. And so as I went through adulthood, I really realized that I wanted to be somebody who would help other people in their journey to find out how to take care of themselves and come through in the world in the best way possible. So I became very interested in my own healing and how the mind works in the different realities that we all live in and in the depth of my own therapeutic work and working in a group home. I realized that's what I wanted to do. I was doing theater and I was trying to make it, but I was 6'1". It was hard to make it at 6'1" in theater. And one day God just like tapped me on the side of my head and he said, instead of trying to be somebody you're not, how about you just help people be who they're supposed to be?
You just gave me chills. Wow. I love that.
That's
isn't that
brilliant.
Like our goal for our whole life is, you know, I mean, it's funny because I've always been a hair therapist, right? And which was so my passion. But then my next was being a radio host. And now I'm like, what's my next? I'm always looking for that next because, you know, we do have a lot of nexts in this. But I love that. I mean, being who you're meant to be, correct?
Yes. And so that, and then in this day and age, with what's going on with social media, with what's going on with people with, you know, imposter syndrome and all of that, addiction, it just shows me we really don't know how. And I think we're not really taught in at least American culture that well to do it. I think maybe the Buddhist culture is better at it than ours. But that place of being present within yourself and having it to be okay. I think we're taught everyone has to like you and like fit in, but yet be unique. You know, don't do anything wrong, but don't stand out, but be exemplary. We're given all these mixed messages and we're not told that it's really okay to be who you are. I remember saying to my kids a couple of years ago, I wish I had done so many things differently when you were kids. And they both said, like, Mom, you're amazing. I'm like, well, thank you, but I wish when I had picked you up, I hadn't patted you on the back and said, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. And they both looked at me and said, what would you have said? I said, I wish I would have just patted you on the back and said, get it out. Get it out. You're mad. You're hurting. I don't know why, but let's get this out together. I wish I had joined you instead of trying to take you out of your experience. And they both went, oh, wow. Like, yeah. But I didn't know that then. So
well, what we don't, yeah, we that, don't know. We're taught, right? We're taught by our own experiences and really what our parents have taught, what their parents were taught. Well, and it keeps going back, right? And then as we, you know, even in marriages, and especially that you work with relationships, is you both bring different things to the marriage, correct? And then you kind of weed out what you don't need.
Right. And I think there's a place on this path that if we decide, yes, I am created from what the past has been, but what do I carry forth and what do I change for me and maybe change generationally forward as well? And then that's a beautiful place. I mean, I think we come to a place, maybe it's our 30s, maybe it's our 20s, maybe it's always where we are unlearning what we have learned and then picking up what better serves us now if we choose to be that lifelong learner, which I definitely am. I am too.
I love that. I don't think we're ever too old to learn. So I love that.
No.
So your newest book, and is that your first book?
It's my first non-fiction book. I do have three poetry books, but and I love poetry, but poetry is very different than a couple's communication book.
So what are we going to find in your speaking with the heart?
Oh, just so much beautiful, like, richness. So from having a mom who didn't live in the same reality that I lived in, I grew up not thinking that other people did, which actually was very helpful. And so I didn't try to replicate my mom's reality, and I knew she couldn't really stay in mine. So I more so wanted to share my experience. I didn't think she'd really understand it completely. I didn't think she'd feel the same way. I just wanted to share my experience, and I wanted her and others to share theirs with me. And in having that awareness, then it takes away your right, your wrong. It removes all of that. And it really comes down to a core important place of being human, which is, how can I bless you? How can I serve you? How can I benefit you? How can I help you? If I'm going to be in relationship with you, what is it that I can offer to you? You flip it, and it's, well, what are you doing for me? And so I come from it from a different place. So I can choose to not offer you anything and pull myself back, and that's fine. But if I'm going to come to you, I either come to you in a place of wanting to share something with you, or I come to you with a need that I have. And recognizing those two things are very important. So then in relationship, it starts to become very clear of, if you can talk these things through, what is it that you need from me? Or how can I support you in who you are right now? How can I stand alongside with you? I go through and explain communication, which I think you really don't understand very well, because we base it on the words and not so much on the connection or the compassion or the purpose. And so I show people how to step into a conversation very differently than they do, much more intentionally than we do, much more carefully than we do. And then doing that by asking four specific questions before you start any conversation, it changes the conversation completely. And that helps things move with much more love and with much more grace and respect. And then I'll also go through in the book, and I talk about attachment styles and love languages and play and sex and family and money and anxiety and depression and all sorts of things that you need to cover when giving and receiving, fear, when you're working with a couple.
And you work with the couples, or do you work on one-on-one? How does that work for you?
I do both. So it depends upon what people want. So about, I'm going to say, 2/5 of my practice is couple. Probably half of my practice is couple, and half of my practice is individual.
Okay. And where are you located?
I'm in Southern California, so my offices are in Garden Grove and Huntington Beach.
Okay. Wonderful. And do you do virtual also?
I do.
Okay. And that's a big thing now, right?
Yeah. It is. And I've had people who have found me, like, on TikTok and YouTube, and they say, I want to work with you. And they're not in California, so I can't see them as a client in psychotherapy because my license is within California. But because I have been doing relationship work for such a long time, there's some very clear differences between a coach and a psychotherapist. And so I've met several people where it's been absolutely appropriate for me to coach, who have lived in different parts of the country and the world, and that's thrilling. That's really fun to do.
Oh, so when you coach, what's the difference do you find in what you do as a professional coach or therapist?
Well, a therapist really means the person is in a place of extreme difficulty, either within themselves, within their family system, within their marriage, within their life. There's probably some medical challenges that are going on with, you know, anxiety and depression and anger. They might need support with medication. So it goes back to having a diagnostic code that goes along with physical challenges that are going on. And normally it's tied to a lot of either an experience they have just had, you know, like they've been hit or they've been lied to, or something from a developmental aspect from the childhood. Coaching is very different. Coaching is somebody who is not going through anything that is extremely problematic or where you truly need necessarily even a professional, that they need help in mindset and in thought process and in action plans. And so they're taking care of themselves, but they're wanting to kind of up level. And so it would be kind of like going to a physical trainer. You could do the workout on your own, but a physical trainer is going to show you very differently. So psychotherapist would be like much more so like the physical trainer, like, let me show you how to do this right. Let me make certain you don't injure yourself. Let's make certain we keep you safe. And then coaching is more for the refining.
Wow. Thank you, Heather. That really explains so much right there. I love it. So let me ask you, okay, we're in the beginning of the year, and I'm sure, and I don't know if this is how you do coaching or, and I'm going to actually say therapy, for couples. What are some of the things that you can share to enhance our relationships, whether it's our relationships with our spouses, our children, maybe our businesses? What are some of the ways that we can look internally and just look at how we interact in those areas?
Well, it's beautiful that what you say is how do we look internally, because I think it absolutely starts there. How do I feel with you? How do I experience you? What am I aware of where I either pull back or whether I push? Then there's also the place to ask the other. I'm working on my relationships, and you're really important to me as my employer, and I want to make certain that I'm showing up in a way that best benefits you. Would you be really transparent with me and share with me how you see me, how you view me, where you see that maybe I'm not coming through in a way that would serve this position or this relationship more? Because our experience of us is incredibly important, but knowing how the other person perceives us is as important. Because if I don't know how you're viewing me, how you're responding to me, then it's going to be a little bit off. So one of the things that I did with my kids and with my husband is every month I would say, please share with me where I've loved you really well this month. And then I'd also say, please be really honest with me where I'm blowing it.
Wow.
And I didn't get angry.
Say that again. Say that again, because that's beautiful.
Please share with me where I have really loved you well this month, because I'd want to keep doing it. And please also share with me where I'm really blowing it.
Right.
And I would get the most beautiful information back, but my family knew this. I would not get angry. I would not get defensive. I was asking. And so I needed to really receive that. But my viewpoint was, and I would say this to them, if you're honest with me, I will learn how to love you better.
Right.
And that will be my gift to you. And so my family knew that. And because of that, we love each other better and better and better and better the more years we go through life, because we're continually being mindful of, this doesn't honor you. Well, I can tweak that. Or this doesn't honor you, then I will leave the room when I do this, because this is something that I need to do for me.
Right.
There's a beautiful place of not having to lose yourself with the other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what my mom showed me.
Showed you?
Yeah, in the essence of, she could stay herself and in her psychosis, and I could love her even though I wasn't in her psychosis.
Got it.
And I could love her even though I didn't live in her psychosis. But we unfortunately use the other person to delineate who we are or describe for us who we are. And then we lose ourselves. My mom, in her inability to stay present, showed me the importance of trying to learn how to stay present and take care of yourself, because she didn't, I mean, she did it in going into a psychosis, but it wasn't very effective. And so I've tried to help people learn, what is it that you need from you? What is it that you need for you? And how do you create that for yourself in a relationship? And then how do you honor the person that you're with? I'll give you an example. So one of the things my daughter loves is having her hair stroked.
Mm-hmm.
She's got this glorious mane of hair. And literally, she can have to do it for 2 hours at a time. I've been stroking her hair for 20-something years. And one day she said to me, Mom, when you stroke my hair, you give me dreadlocks. And I said, what?
Yeah, said, after all this time,
When you do that little squishy thing, like, you give me dreadlocks. And I said, maybe? And she said, yeah. I said, why haven't you told me this years before? And she said, oh, I didn't want you to be mad, Mom. Honey, why would I be mad?
She said, well, because we get offended, right? I mean, we do.
Well,
sometimes, yeah.
I said, but I wasn't doing it right. She said, I know, but you were trying. I'm like, okay, but I was trying, but I was failing. I said, honey, do you think I was stroking your hair because I wanted to stroke your hair right? Or do you think I was stroking your hair because I wanted to love you?
Right.
And she goes, oh, my gosh, Mom. Like, you've cheated yourself and been stroking your hair for the last 20 years in a way that would have really loved you.
Mm-hmm.
We both kind of laughed and thought, how silly this is.
Right, but that really speaks to so many things. Like, maybe, you know, your husband can be rubbing your hand and you don't love that. That's not your love language, right? Where if he just rubbed your back, but, you know, I mean, that's very sensitive of a situation. How do you say that to, you know, your partner?
Oh, I'll give you the answer. You are such a kind, gracious, beautiful man. And it means so much to me, sweetheart, that you want to give me pleasure. And I love that so much. My back really aches. Would you be willing to rub my back instead of my hand? Because that would feel even better. I don't think he's going to be offended and angry. I think he's going to say, yeah, of course.
Wow, that was awesome, Heather. That's great. You're right. I mean, and sometimes we need to find those words to be able to share what, not only what we want, but probably what they want, correct?
Absolutely. And there's the place of recognizing that I'm not negating what you're offering me. That's the place where we blow it. Like, why are you stroking my hand? Don't stroke my hand. Stroke my back. We turn it into a criticism instead of a gratefulness and an appreciation, but then a guiding to where it would mean so much more. This happens in sex. Like, if
I was just
going to
say, I
could
see that. Yeah, talk to us about that. We have like a minute more, but I'm going to have you back.
Well, you want to be able to say, hey, it's a little lower, or it's a little slower, not like, oh, I'm almost there, darn it. You know?
Right.
So if you have permission with your partner, can I really be transparent with you? Can I be honest with you? And can you know the reason I'm sharing this is because I want you to love me so well. And I've got the keys for what that is. And I'm offering this to you because I really feel you do want to love me well. And I want that. And I want to love you well back. That's that. How could I love you better? Where am I blowing it? Help me come through for you more completely. And who wouldn't want a partner who says that? Like, I'm glad I'm good, but help me be better. What more do you want?
Wow.
Ah.
Okay. Good stuff there.
Nuggets are what my book is all about. How do you approach the conversations? How do you approach your partner? How do you receive love? How do you offer love? How do you take it in deeply? And then all those little places that are problematic in relationships, you know, budget and money and family and sex and time and children and play, all anger, all those places that come up, that's what my book's all about, just to try to bless people and help them in this beautiful journey of life in relating with others.
I love that. And you know, what is the one trigger that you hear over and over and over again since your experience with working with so many couples that is the thing that pulls them apart? Is there one thing?
Yeah, believing their partner doesn't love them anymore.
Mm.
And it's not always true. But when I think you don't love me, now I'm pulling back. And then I start to treat you differently. Now maybe you still did love me, but you're acting in a way that I don't understand, so I'm misinterpreting it. but I start to pull back and then you start to pull back and you feel me pulling back and you think, oh, you don't love me anymore. And then you pull back. So if you make the agreement with your partner, I really do want to love you always. And I really hope you will love me always as well. Can we remember that? Can we remember that? I used to say to myself when I would drive home when I was frustrated with my husband, I'm sure he's not trying to hurt you. Maybe he forgot. Maybe he was lazy. Maybe he was sloppy. Maybe he didn't listen. He really isn't trying to hurt you. He really isn't trying to not love you. And if you say that to your partner, like, I want to love you. I think I'm pretty bad at it sometimes. I really want to love you well. We all want to be loved. And if we remember that and then embrace that, and when our partner is angry or upset or sad, we realize, ooh, I am not loving you very well right now because you're not acting like you're feeling very loved, then you can offer more if you're willing. I look at, if you will, misbehavior as someone who needs more love. And what we say in our society is, stop it. Don't treat me that way. You come back and treat me the way that I should be treated, and then I will love you. And if you think about it, big picture, what a messed up message.
Wow.
You know, you go fix you, and when you're perfect, then I'll give you love. Instead, I would say, you're really angry. I can't really be around you when you're really angry. I want to be able to hear you. Could you come back when I can hear you more so? Then you're stepping in with the person. You're not punishing them or blaming them or shaming them.
That's beautiful. Whoa, whoa, whoa. All right. I love it. We need to get your book. I'm so excited. Of course, tell everybody where they can find it.
Yes, I am so excited too. So thank you. So Amazon and Barnes & Noble, Speaking with the Heart by Dr. Heather Brown, has an E. And then also probably the easiest way is if you go to my website, you will see the link there. It lands on January 23rd, so it will be active that time forward. And my website is www.chrehetherbrown.com. And the link will, of course, be on my website as well. And my website's kind of the hub of Heather, so you'll see my newsletter, working with me, my programs that I have. I have a couple of programs and workshops, all my social media, so you can see my TikToks, my YouTubes. So anything that you have, any questions that you have, please feel free to reach out.
I love it. Again, Dr. Heather Brown, thank you so much for being a guest here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life and Business. Please share our show with everyone. Download our podcast, and I look forward to having you back again.
Oh, thank you so much. You are an absolute delight, so I'm very honored.
Thank you. Thank you, you too. Some really inspirational and just some, I love it. I love that you're so passionate about with what you do, and you can feel it. So I love that. All right. Have a great rest of your day.
You as well.
Okay, bye-bye. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
TNT Anger Management Services knows that sometimes we get overwhelmed at work and home with our deadline. Try these three tips to help you regain order and focus. Number one, staying focused on the priority should be your main objective. Number two, we all know the word multitasking is highly overrated, so try to keep it simple. Number three, set boundaries for yourself, eliminating side talk and chatter, which can be really disrupting when you have a deadline. These are just some ways to collect oneself and complete your lead task. For more information, visit TNTAMS.com. Or if you're experiencing a lack of focus and anger, please feel free to call Norman Thatcher, the facilitator and owner of TNT Anger Management, directly, 818-264-6255. That's 818-264-6255, or go to TNTAMS.com.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out survivalswimwithkim.com. That's survivalswimwithkim.com or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.
Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the heart of the beautiful Santa Rosa Valley, is a locally owned, multi-regional classic Italian restaurant with an extensive wine list. You'll be greeted with warm, friendly, attentive service. Wednesday evenings from 3 to 8 p.m., Manhattan of Camarillo offers a signature three-course menu for $25. For a bit more casual atmosphere, check out Trivia Thursdays in their beer garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. If you're into live music, come see some of Ventura County's premier local talent where you can dance the night away on a large dance floor. Manhattan of Camarillo's private wine and banquet room holds up to 40 people. Make your reservations today or book your next private party. Dinner is served Tuesday through Saturday with easy access off the 101 at Pleasant Valley Road.
Call today for a reservation at 805-388-5550.
That's 805-388-5550. Or go to themanhattanofcamarillo.com.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
And, of course, now we have Dr. Jen Wademan, and we're talking about eye health and also just really getting our children ready for school. And sometimes we misdiagnose them because it's really their eyes, and they've made it so much fun. So let's make sure that you've got this on your list for them to return to school. Let's welcome Dr. Jen Wademan.
So why is it so important for, you know, parents to really get their kids' eyes tested before school?
Yeah, as they're returning, as our kids are returning back to school, you know, ultimately, as parents, we really want to set them up for success. I know with my kids, I'm trying to get everything they need to start the school year off right. And one area that I feel sometimes parents forget about is vision. And when we talk about vision, when we talk about being in the classroom, so much of learning is visual. So that's why I'm teaming up with Zeiss. They're a leading manufacturer of eyeglass lenses. And, you know, all to help remind parents the importance of a comprehensive eye exam and the options that are available for our kids out there. So, you know, they're successful in the classroom, but even outside of that as well.
I love that. And they would actually, if they did have an eye problem, it might be not recognized and think that maybe they're already bored or that they're not getting it, right? So it's like one more thing to check off our parents' list, correct?
Oh, 100%. And, you know, my youngest daughter is a good example of that. You know, she really started or struggled in first grade and at kindergarten, first grade. And so, you know, whether her symptoms were more kind of avoiding certain activities like reading. But, you know, I did an eye exam and sure enough, she had a prescription in there and got her glasses. And so, you know, some of her difficulty focusing and, you know, keeping letters straight on a word were due to her vision.
Wow. So let me ask you, I know that a lot of kids are a little nervous and they've really changed it now, right? To do age appropriate and kind of make it fun.
Oh, 100%. And I always have a lot of fun with my patients who are kiddos when they come in. You know, we can see kids as young as 6 months of age, and we're definitely not at that age looking for, you know, a verbal response because they can't. But there are definitely ways to objectively measure vision to make it fun for my older kiddos. You know, a lot of times we'll put cartoons on. If they can read letters, that's great. If they can't, I've got fun pictures we look at, and it all incorporates, you know, me checking how they're seeing, what they're not seeing, looking at their overall prescription. So if they need corrective lenses, and then checking the health of their eyes.
I love it. And what are some of the signs that parents can know that maybe there might be a little problem, and they shouldn't be, I mean, glasses are so cute now, and there's so many great styles. But is it like squinting, or what are some of the signs?
You got it. So squinting is an easier one sometimes for parents to notice. But other symptoms would be if your child's excessively rubbing their eyes, they're getting frequent headaches, they're complaining that their eyes hurt or bother them. You know, sometimes it manifests with difficulty focusing with, not only distance tasks, but going from distance to near. So that's vital in a classroom. Other times it's, avoiding tasks, like my daughter, she never wanted to sit down and read because it was uncomfortable for her. So those are just some things. I mean, really the best advice is to get your child in for that exam. And, we can look at kind of all those aspects of vision that, are so important in the classroom and outside of the classroom.
I love it. And of course, what should our parents do to protect their eyesight? I mean, so many people are on computers now, iPads, and so digital. The world is so digital now. So talk to us about that.
Yeah. And the good news is that in today's world, we have the benefit of eye care products that are specifically tailored to our kids. And this is something I'm really excited about, because for years I talk with adults and we find these tailored solutions, whether they need corrective lenses for the computer or driving or specific hobby, but kids also need this. So kids are using their eyes in so many different ways in the classroom. And so, as I mentioned, I've teamed up with Zeiss, and they recently launched a Smart Life Young Lens. That's what it's called. It's specifically for kids 6 to 19. And this lens is pretty incredible. I can definitely nerd out on it, but it really takes into account the anatomy of a child. It takes into account how they're interacting with their world visually in the classroom, on a device, all these things. So, it's, and you can pair UV protection in those lenses, which is so critical as our kids spend. I mean, we want them to spend time outside, but kids on average spend more time than adults. So it's great that we can add those other protective measures as well, especially if they need corrective lenses.
Wow, really good advice. And they're so cute, all the glasses nowadays, right?
Oh, I know. There's so many fun options and cute styles. And yeah, it can be really fun for kids. And it doesn't have to be a negative experience, as maybe, perhaps it was in
like
the past.
Like when we were young, right? You have to have glasses. But now, oh my God, they're so in style. And they're like, they get to have their own little personality to pick them out.
Oh,
I love it.
100%.
Let me ask you a question. Those glasses that they say to wear when you're on the computer all the time, do you suggest those, or what's your thought on that?
Good question. There's a lot there's been a lot of focus on blue light glasses, especially, since the pandemic, because everyone's spending more time on a device. I think you have to be mindful of what's out there online. There's a lot of stuff, and just like, UV protection and sunglasses, you have to be mindful of where you're getting those. And, it's hard to validate some of that stuff. Definitely I would start with your eye care provider, because they're going to help you navigate all of that. And, to keep this short, I'd say blue light glasses, in terms of the evidence and the research that we have, we're still a long way to really quite understand what is the impact long term. I have a lot of patients who like adding the blue light filter in their prescription lenses, and it seems to make a difference with how their eyes are feeling. Take it all with a grain of salt. I think your eye care provider and, getting that with your trusted kind of, a trusted expert is the way to go. And just be, mindful of all that stuff online. And
I see what you're saying. Yeah, you never know what you're getting, and it could actually be harmful to your eyes. So
as with everything, just always, there's so much online, sometimes too much.
That right. Dr. Wademan, thank you so much for being here and really sharing some of this eye health expertise that you have. Where can my listeners go and find out more information?
Yeah, so Zeiss.com their website has a host of information about vision care, eye health. And if you don't have an eye doctor, they have a great resource to find one in your area. So that's Zeiss.com, Zeiss.com.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you again for joining us here on the Kim Pagano. So I look forward to talking with you again.
All right. Thank you so much.
You got it. All right. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano. So I'm wishing you an incredible weekend. And of course, we always end our show with a moment of happiness. And today's is friends are the family we choose in our life. And I love that. Sometimes friends can be the ones that really help us through those times of our life that we can really trust. So with that, thank you so much for joining us. Have a great rest of your weekend, and I'll talk to you next week.
I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle wind on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out SurvivalSwimWithKim.com. That's SurvivalSwimWithKim.com or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.